Bible podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
I wanted to take a moment to pray for Wuhan. As many of you know, that's not a good scenario. I'm on several channels on social media, and we're just keeping track. The good news is the message this morning from is all's well with the church, and he's actually raring to go and saying, send the command out here, and we want to reach more people because there's a national crisis going on. So I do want to take a moment to pray for really safety, for prudence, for wisdom, for the government, and also to pray for protection for everybody, and that over the months this will be dealt with and life goes on. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your grace in our lives to pray. Your word says where two or more agree about anything on this earth, it'll be done for us by our Father in heaven. So Father, we just ask you to pour out your grace over China. Pour out your grace over the body of Christ, the pastors, the men and women, Lord, who know you, that more we come to know about your grace. Grant wisdom to the government to know what to do, whether that's quarantine, whether that's keeping peace and order. And Father, we're asking for a medical breakthrough that will resolve this issue, not just in China, but all across the world in Jesus' name. Amen. It's all right, guys, that's fine. I want to talk to you as a final message on our series on grace. And I bring up this picture of an empty suitcase because when you're traveling, you want to pack the right things. And it's a good idea to pack the right things when you're traveling across 2020 and going through the year. You want to know that you have the essentials. There's only so much that you can put in your suitcase when you're traveling. Unfortunately, for many of us, if not all of us, our suitcases actually look like this already. It's already packed. It's already loaded with so many things. And not to mention that this year we have the addition of the Yara River turning brown because of the internet. Now we're kept posted with all the disasters in the world. My friends, I've got friends in Australia, in Melbourne, pastors who are telling me that the river is actually brown because of all the soot from all the fires over the weeks. When the rains came down, it just turned the entire river brown. It's one of the most beautiful, if you've ever been to Melbourne, it's one of the most beautiful rivers in the world. And it's brown today. And then, of course, you have the situation in the Philippines where the final of what's going to happen is not even there yet. The volcano erupting. How many of you know this is a busy year? And, of course, we have the Wuhan situation, which we don't even know what that looks like. There's 50 million people who are essentially blocked from moving and traveling. And that's not a pretty sight. If I may say so, the first thing you want to put in that suitcase is this word called grace. And it's very easy to put fear. It's very easy to respond in fear, to think in fear, to look at the world from the lenses of fear. And then earlier this morning, Mark said, God did not give us the spirit of timidity and fear. That's not who God is. But he's given us the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And that actually comes together. Power, when you understand the power of God and who he is, and you know how much he loves you. Many times the reason why we don't respond that way is because we really don't believe God has all that power, number one. Number two, we're not quite sure he loves us as much as we should or he should. And hence, we have timidity and fear rather than power, love, and a sound mind that knows that he's in control. And as I end this series, I want to talk to you again about saving grace and being saved by grace, that idea that you're not saved by your abilities, your work, your good deeds, your religious practices. That's not what saves you. In fact, today, there's nothing that can save you. You think about this virus, nothing out there can save you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, for it is by grace that you've been saved, and that salvation is not theoretical. That's not theological. That's not religious. That is tangible, real, in the air, something you can live with. I have been saved by grace. My life is saved. Time, as we know it, is eternal. We don't know when it started. We don't know when it's going to end. But on this earth, we do know that there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. And under the heavens, there's a time to be born and a time to die. And that's clear. We should be clear about that. There's a limit to this life here. But our lives extend further than that because we've been saved by grace. And hence, our destinies are assured in God if we will follow Him, if we'll keep track with Him, if we will actually follow Him. I've been looking at the lines. This is in Clementi. These are the lines for masks. And then I was in Suntec City, and there was a long line. I was wondering, whether it was over lunchtime, there was a huge line in Suntec City at Watson's because there was a line of people trying to get a mask. And then I guess they heard over lunch that there were supplies. And then there was a line everywhere. There's a line for masks. This is probably the longest one. And when I look at these lines, I kind of think, how many people actually line up for God? How many people are so busy dwelling in fear and lining up to fear, rather than lining up to God's grace, where you can already see by the natural instincts, our instincts are that of fear. Because without God, that is you, that's me, that's me, that was me. My sisters-in-law are here. By the way, my sisters-in-law, could you guys quickly just stand up? These are Marie's sisters, Armine, Jenny, and Reggie. And my wife comes from a family of eight with seven sisters. How many of you know that needs grace to do that? I mean, to be married to someone like that. And now they're in. And I picked them up at the airport, and there were no people. On the one hand, I was celebrating because we have Jewel all to ourselves. But at the same breath, there was that fear. Well, what if this was real? What if I pick up this bug here? Until I started meditating on Psalm 91 that says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall rest under the shadow of the Almighty. That's that verse. Shall rest under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, the God in whom I trust. Surely, not maybe, surely He will deliver me from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. It will not come near my tent. It doesn't matter where I go. It's either I believe that or I'm just religious, paying lip service to God. Do it on a Sunday, but the rest of the week, I tuck Him back on a shelf and line up for face masks. Was that funny, Kelly? Sorry. But the point is, because it's through faith. It's either I believe this or I don't. And if I don't believe, here's the funny thing about me. I'm just going to bare my soul to you. This is what is, if I don't believe it, I don't even want to talk about it. If I don't believe it, I don't want to waste my time on it. But if I believe it, then I want to throw my entire life into it. Because everything else is a waste of time. It's just not worth doing it if it wasn't that real. This is not for myself. It is from God. And that this woman actually figured out a way to have a new fashion. When they ran out in the West, they ran out of masks. She said, you can actually split your bra and you have twin masks. The latest fashion now. People become inventive about how they're going to save themselves. Isn't that funny when God says, I already saved you. I've already saved you. I've given you the greatest gift of all. I gave you my son. Would you just believe it? The destiny is yours. Life is yours. It says it's through faith. This is not from yourselves. In other words, the more you attempt to make this happen on your own, it won't work. It's the acknowledgement that God is good. It actually is a gift. If you try to earn this thing, which is what religion is, then you're it's no longer a gift. Now you're paying for this thing. It's an insult to the guy who's giving it to you. It would be like your child saying, okay, I'm going to work and pay you rent. And you're 7 years old. How in the world are you going to pay me rent? In other words, we cannot pay for this. We are incapable of paying for this. The sooner we understand that, the better it is for us. Because it pushes us to a place of dependence. Because the place of independence or abilities works that says now someone can boast. But grace is, I have nothing to boast. I mean, if I were to boast, I boast in the Lord. It's all because of who He is and what He's done. That's what it means to be saved by grace. Next is sanctified by grace. It's this progressive idea that life is getting better. I crossed that line, folks, and I'm going to encourage you. 2008, I don't know how old I was. I was old. I was getting old. I'm turning 63 this year. And I just crossed the line. Sometime in 2008, I just decided every year was going to be better than the previous one, regardless of what's happening. And from that point on, from 2009 to today, I have good news for you. Every year has actually been better. Because I was no longer slave and hostage to whatever else was happening in the world. I was a slave to the righteousness that I have in Christ Jesus. Doesn't matter how bad things are. Doesn't matter there's a volcano. Doesn't matter because I have God with me. And I'm progressively being sanctified, being changed. Even though, this is the Apostle Paul saying, even though I was once a blasphemer, he was one of the worst. The guy who wrote most of the Bible says, I was a blasphemer, I was a liar, I was a persecutor, I was a violent man, I was a murderer. That's grace. Grace is acknowledging I can't do this. I'm actually a horrible person without God. With God, I'm sanctified, I'm processed. Day by day, I get better and better just because of grace. Just because I get to learn how to love. Because I experienced that love for myself. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. And here's what he says. He says in verse 14, the grace of our Lord was poured out on me in abundance. If you want to believe in abundance, believe that God abundantly gives you grace. Along with the faith and the love that is in Christ Jesus, I can walk in grace. Previously, about 2 weeks ago, I showed you the picture of a ballet dancer and how graceful and effortless they do these kind of stuff. That's what grace looks like when people look at you, when your office mates look at you, when your relatives say, why is it so effortless? Because it's not me making it happen. It's the grace of God inside of me. That's why it's effortless. You probably heard of the song Amazing Grace. Most recorded Christian religious song, that is. Steve Turner, who chronicled Elvis Presley's life, the Beatles, wrote a book about the song. And apparently this song, the tune, the original tune, was a bar tune. It was right in the pub. They would listen to this where people get drunk. Because the writer was a drunk. The writer was a slave trader. The writer was an evil man who heard the tune and took that tune, and because he became a Christian one day he just realized how nasty his life was and gave his life to God, and he took that melody and wrote the lyrics that we now sing. His name is John Newton, and he said this. These are the things he said. He said, I'm not what I ought to be, I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I hope to be, still I'm not what I once used to be. I'm not there yet, but by the abundant grace of God, I am what I am, and what that simply means is I'm moving forward. By His grace, I'm being sanctified, I'm getting better. Not because I'm knowing more, doing more, trying harder, but because I'm putting my faith in God more. It's the other way around. You don't work so that you can get faith. You have faith, and because you have so much faith in God, then you go out and work because you know it works. Too many people try to make this work and think that if I work harder, I'm going to get more faith. No, 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 no. It doesn't work. It's the other way around. You put your faith in God, and because you see how amazing He is, you want to go out and work and do all kinds of stuff because you know it actually works. That's how faith works. Now, it's not just sanctified by grace, we're satisfied by grace. There's actually a satisfaction. You've got this ability to just rest. I like rest. I actually like the idea of rest. And rest, by the way, is not about going to sleep, because it's possible that you slept last night, but you didn't rest it because you kept waking up in the middle of the night worrying about the coronavirus. Rest is to enjoy. The Bible tells us that to rest is to enjoy something. We know that God made man on the sixth day of the week. And we know that he didn't make man on the first, not on the second, not on the third, not on the fourth, not even on the fifth day of the week. God created man on the sixth day of the week because the intent was that we would not be working for him. If God's intent was for us to work for him, then he should have created man on the first day of the week. But he didn't. He made us on the sixth day of the week because his intent was when we woke up on the seventh day, the first thing we would see was God resting. Begs the question, why in the world would God rest? Of course not. Was it the dinosaurs that did him in? Was it the snakes of the Amazon? What actually did him in that he had to rest? Nothing, because the Bible in Isaiah says the creator of the heavens and the earth never gets tired or weary. So if he was never tired or weary, then why in the world would he rest? Because he wanted to sit back and enjoy creation. And he wanted you and me to learn that every day. That when we woke up, the first thing we look for is him, because he is the place of rest. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall rest under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress, the God in whom I trust. To rest, therefore, is to enjoy. The more we enjoy God, the more rested we become. And the more we strive and try to manufacture this, we don't get satisfied. We actually lose the satisfaction. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9, Paul says, my grace, God says to Paul when he was complaining, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. It's more than enough, Paul. More than enough. My grace is more than enough. If you wanted anything more, that grace will fill it all up for you. Put it in your suitcase today. In fact, my power is made perfect in weakness. When you're weak, you're actually going to get stronger. I wasn't trying to walk away from my sisters-in-law and my wife last night. I just was preparing for the message, and I wanted to get some food on my own, and I went to a hawker center, and I ate some bad food. And so at 2 o'clock this morning, I had cold sweats. Literally cold sweats, and I was throwing up. This is 2:30 this morning. And I was throwing up and I was pooping, and I was confessing this verse. Lord, you said your word says your grace, your power is made perfect in my weakness. And so, Lord, here I am in all my weakness and my loss of glory. And I was starting to think, I was going to call Pastor Larry or Pastor Mark and say, you guys have to preach this morning, until God literally healed me. Because I found that every time I position myself in grace, it works. Believing in God puts you in a place of being spiritual. Believing in the religion puts you in a place of being religious. They're not the same, just to be clear. Believing in God knows there are no limits. Believing in God knows that there is power available to you. Believing in God is that his power is made perfect when you're weakest. Pack that in your suitcase this year. A few months ago, I told you the story of my wife buying this shampoo that she read that. Apparently, if you use this shampoo, if a man uses it, the next day he's going to look like Brad Pitt. Amen? And so she had bought this shampoo, and so it was in our bathroom, and so I used it. And the next day, I didn't actually look like Brad Pitt. I looked exactly the same. So days into this, she was telling me, have you used the shampoo? And I said, I did, and I used it, and it didn't work, and it was hard to use. And so she started to explain to me that basically what she said was, I don't think you did it right. So here I am at 62 years old being told I don't know how to take a bath. How many of you know that is not a good thing? coming from your wife that you've been married to for 37 years. But the point of saying all of that is that I bit my tongue, died to myself, and by the grace of God, overlooked the offense. Amen? But the funny thing is, the other day I walked into my house and then there's another set of this shampoo. And I looked at this shampoo and I said, I'm preparing myself. And I'm confessing that by the grace of God, never mind. Okay. Steward of grace. How do you do this thing? Is grace just something cheap that God gives you? Is grace just something that's floating around like a mystical, theological whatnot? What is it? Well, Paul says you gotta steward it. Surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace. He was talking about this Greek word oikonomia, which means to steward it, to take care of it. That there's an essence of where you take care of it. You take this seriously. That you don't take it for granted. Because it is so powerful, it's so potent, it's so amazing that you want to make sure you're doing the right thing that was given to me for you. It's not just for you. It's for you to live so others can experience it as they see and interface with you and live do life with you. And they wonder, where is this grace? And the best way I can illustrate this was my grandson, Lucas. Lucas called up his grandmother. And it was interesting, the conversation. I was just listening, eavesdropping, because I wasn't part of the conversation. And Lucas showed up and popped in the screen. You know how Facebook now or Messenger has these, you can actually put faces on your thing. And Lucas basically said, Nana, do you recognize me? And I thought, that is an amazing position of grace. Now, obviously, he knows that his grandmother wants to see him. And yet there was a humility that says, do you recognize me? Do you know who I am? And Marie said, of course I recognize you. And then he started talking, and then he started laughing. And then Marie said, hey Joe, can you come up? And Marie calls me, and says, can you come over here? So we started chatting with him. And he started giggling and smiling, and you could see that is grace. Grace is not works. Grace is to humbly acknowledge that apart from God's goodness, I can't even talk to him. But because he loves me so much, he's given me access. He's given me his phone number. And I can have a private chat with him. And he's really not about our Father in heaven. No. Joey, you're so cute, Joey. Why do you look so cute today? He wants to have a conversation. The next thing we knew, we were having a chat with him for the next 40 minutes. Grace. You know why prayer is boring to some of you? It's a duty. People who walk in grace don't feel it. They see roses, amen? They see life. Pack your bags this year with grace is the simple message. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able, think about this, to him who is able, this is God, to him who is able, God is able. Everybody say, God is able? You better believe it. You see, God is invisible. When something's invisible, it means anything is possible. When you see something is visible, what you see means that's limited. That's as far as it goes. When something's invisible, that's like electricity. You don't see it. But try to imagine living a day without electricity. You're dead. Air is invisible. You don't see it. Now try to imagine a day without air. Gravity is invisible. To imagine a world without gravity, you're going to be floating. Water would be floating. Everything would be floating. You'd be dead. He's able. And then it says to do immeasurably more. Everybody say immeasurably more. If you think you've measured what God can do, he can do more than that. He can do the most ridiculous, most impossible things in your life. And then it says, then all we ask or even imagine. according to his power that is at work within us. That should make you cry. God so saved me that he's filled me with his Spirit. And he's working inside of me every day. And here I am lining up for a mask. No offense meant. If you want to line up for a mask. But I'll tell you something. There's another place you should be lining up for. The grace of God. To him be glory in the church and Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. As if the world's not so busy with the Australian river debacle, with the Philippine volcano. How many of you know that's pretty weird? Forest fires that nobody started, volcanoes that nobody has the switches for. A virus that's spreading throughout the world. And as if the month was not complete. Mark, can you imagine that? Our hero dies. My goodness. And in honor of Kobe Bryant, I'm not sure if he's a believer of Jesus, but he did say something that's worth mentioning here. He said, "I never get bored with the basics." Somebody once asked him, "Why are you so good at what you do?" He said, "I never get bored with the basics." Too many Christians get bored with the basics. They get bored. We get bored. I want something new. I want something different. I want more information. And you know what? Master that. Master praying. Coming to God in any and every situation, as Paul says, pray without ceasing. It's almost like breathing. The same way that you breathe air, you pray every moment of the day. That's the fundamental difference. It's not just pray, it's meditating on the word day and night, reasoning and saying, "God, you said this. And because you said this, I will believe that more than I will believe what every social media channel says. I will not believe that. I'll believe you. I choose to believe you." Proclaiming the gospel is something you need to master. If somebody went up to you today and asked you, "What did God do for you the last few days?" Can you answer? That's what proclaiming God is. If somebody came up to you and said, "What happened? Did God do anything to you this week?" That's what somebody who proclaims the gospel is. Somebody who knows that everything that happens to me is by virtue of God. And lastly, fellowship. Hang around the right people. Hang around Pastor Larry. "Pastor Larry, can you come up here? Just come up here." I mean, I've known this man. How long have we been known each other? 25 years. Shows our age. He's younger.
Yeah.
I'm taking a moment here to talk to you about Pastor Larry. For those of you who know me by now, George Sabo is sitting there. He knows me by now. There are no scripts. We will not have a church in Brisbane, Perth, Nepal. We will not have a church if not for this church. Some of you don't know this. You keep going to Australia and keep looking at kangaroos. Less than 8% of Australians believe in God. That's one of the most secular places on earth. And because of this church, and because of this couple that have planted this church 25 years ago, our dear friends, Marie and I mean, we've known each other for years. This church has managed to spread the gospel all over. And I want to take a minute. Can somebody bring us? This is Pastor Larry when he was in another time, in another space.
22 years old.
Yeah, guys, if you're taking pictures, please don't post this on social media. Just take pictures and pray for them, okay? But we're about to make an announcement here, so.
Not because of me. It's because of them.
Exactly. I mean, please don't. They might wake up in another place. So I want Pastor Larry to speak freely. Would you give this man a round of applause? And Elaine?
You know, it was about this time, 25 years ago, the Lord began to speak to me. And he gave me a word from Daniel 11:32. And it says, "Those that know their God will be strong and do great exploits." And the Lord said, if you desire to know me, you're going to see great things happen in your life. And I'm going to bring a people with that same desire to know me. And together, you're going to see a great church established. And so with that word, we're like, yes, we got so excited. We gathered, you know, eight of us initially to pray and to believe that we're going to start something. And the first Sunday, we had 18 people show up. You know, Elaine's mom and uncle and auntie sitting there, Uncle Jimmy, Auntie Julie, and Flora. Uncle Ricky was there, and Marilyn was there, actually, the first day, and Rachel. And it was just amazing that was the smallest attendance we ever had. And we just kept growing ever since. And 4 years ago, we grew to a place where we knew that we needed structure. We needed greater organization. And so we asked the apostolic leadership team to help us. And they sent the best to us, Pastor Joey and Marie. Can we give them a hand? Thank you for coming here to help us. And of all people, you know, was leading all the Philippines. And it's incredible. We got the best here. And with that, the apostolic leadership team also asked me to go around our Asia and Oceania churches to go and help build faith and prophesy over them and help the pastors. And so I've been doing that for the last 4 years. In the process of that, last year especially, we realized that a lot of our church members were migrating to Australia for some reason. And we spent a lot of time in Melbourne especially. And as we were there, the leaders were asking me, well, why don't you go see if, you know, people are open to plant a church. And so we went and gathered people, met people, and every time we would ask them, most of the people would say, if you and Elaine come, we'll help. And it was so funny, this one elderly Australian couple, when we said, so if we come, would you join us, and would you like to help us plant a church? And they said, this guy stands up and jumps out of his chair, and he goes, if you and Elaine come, we're in. Oh, he was the vice president of human resource for Kraft Foods here, and it's Richard and Kirsty. And so, you know, they got all excited, and so that got us excited. And so he said, well, can I just pray for your children? And, you know, he said, oh, my children don't go to church anymore. They're kind of like, you know, away from God. And I said, well, just ask. And so he called his son. His son was 34 years old. And you know, he says, Pastor Larry's here. Would you like him to pray for you? And the son said, yeah. You know, the son was going through a crisis moment. And so, you know, he came over, we prayed for him. And as I started praying for him, I said, man, there's so much giftings on your life. I sense the Lord is calling you into ministry. And I wouldn't be surprised if someone has prophesied that over you before. I said, who was it? And he goes, he got a shock. And he says, actually, 15 years ago, Pastor John Rohr came to Melbourne and prophesied that I would be full-time in ministry. And I go, I knew it. And you know what? I just came back from the World Conference, and I got Pastor John Rohr's book, and it's for you, bro. And I gave it to him. I said, man, I'm going to keep coming, you know, back. And I said, when I come back, I'm going to meet you for breakfast once a week. I said, would you be open to that? He says, I would love that, Pastor. And I said, yes, you know. And so then I met the father called his daughter, and she's 31. Same thing, prayed, prophesied over her. She's bawling, crying. I said to this elderly couple, I said, you know, if we plant a church for the sake of reaching your family, it's all worth it. Oh, my goodness. I tell you, we had open doors and things like that. God was moving, and it was just like a confirmation for Elaine and I that God was saying, yes, this is the time to plant a church. So we gathered a group, about 30 people, and we have a good core group there. And so we're gonna plant that church in Melbourne. And you know, the amazing thing was the scripture the Lord gave me, because I always want to plan something. I always want to do something with the word. And the Lord gave me this word, Ephesians 3:20, which Pastor Joey just read. He says, God is able to do far more abundantly above all you can ask or think, according to the power at work in us. And now we got so excited because, man, it's going to be beyond what we could even think or imagine. And I want to encourage you that God is extending this house even to Australia, and we're going to reach thousands for the kingdom. And so I want you to get really excited, you know, for what's happening. And I want to thank you and thank the pastors and the leaders and everyone. Just keep us in prayer, because we're going to reach Melbourne for Jesus. Yeah. All right.
Father, we do thank you for this family. We thank you for the testimony of faithfulness they've been to us. God, we thank you for the faith and faithfulness that have merged in Larry and Elaine to bring forth your will and your ways in the lives that are touched. And even in this room, as we look around, all of us are here at some level because of their investment,
yes,
their seed sowing, their root laying, their foundation building. And God, I'm thankful that they've built on the rock foundation of Christ Jesus. So this church has always lived to honor you more than honor any one person. And so, Lord, we do at this time want to honor, though, those who honor is due. And honor is due to Larry and Elaine for the foundation they've laid well here. And God, I pray that their own labors, the fruit of their own labors would honor them, God, in the fact that what they see now, what they see in the natural, is what they saw in the spiritual. And in the same way, what's going on in Melbourne, what they see in the spiritual for the Melbourne church now is going to release into the natural realm as they pray, as they believe, as they walk in faith, as they continue to trust that you are the God who does exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think, according to that faith and that power that's working inside of them, God. And I thank you that it's your grace, your power, and your will at work in them that's going to see great fruit in Melbourne. We give you praise for it, Lord.
Father, we just thank you, Lord. And Father, personally, I thank you so much for Pastor Larry and Elaine, Lord, for their faith. If there's one thing that stands out in this couple, it's their amazing faith, not in themselves, but in you, Lord. Having known him for so long, since the time he started this church in 95, Father, his faith has never wavered, but it has gone on from strength to strength. If not for Pastor Larry, none of us would be standing here on this stage and in this room. And so, Father, we want to ask that you may honor this man and his family. Lord, you say that those who honor you, you will surely honor. And Lord, Pastor Larry has honored you with his faith in moving and doing the things which only through faith can be done. And as he and Elaine plants a church in Melbourne, Lord, may you show yourself again faithful to multiply that church, to grow that church, Lord, and in so doing, to honor him. And so, Father, we thank you for the life of this man and his family. We thank you so much in Jesus' name.
My daughter, you have married a man of adventure. And you've been in so many adventures. And the Lord would say to you, this one is going to be different. You're going to enjoy this one in ways that you've never enjoyed before. I will meet you at every turn. I will give you friends who will stand with you, who will work with you, who will bless you. You're not to worry about your family that's staying behind or relatives. I will be their protector. I will co-sign every contract, every agreement. Where there are lines that have been put a snares upon you, I will expose it, says the Lord. I will give you people who will stand with you, fight for you. For this is yet one of your best adventures. Do not wane, do not be afraid. Be at peace. I'm laying the tracks. Take it one step at a time, saith the Lord. Father, thank you for Larry and Elaine. Thank you for people of faith. Father, as leaders of this church, we send them forth. And we believe you, Father, that we will have another beachhead in Australia. Yes. 10, 15, 20, 30 years from now, Lord, thousands of young Australians will come to know you and the grace that comes from giving their lives to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. All right. We are dismissed, folks.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.